He kōna ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
For almost anyone living in Auckland's central suburbs, seeing the man in a cowboy hat and basketball jersey washing windows of local shops around town has sort of been a regular feature for years. He goes by the name Sky. Now, I first moved to Auckland in 2006, and at the time, I was still wearing a lot of colour, before the blacks, greys and blues of the iconic Auckland palette slowly infiltrated my wardrobe. When I saw Sky back then, the first thing I noticed about him was obviously his colourful clothes, and I kind of had a feeling that he too wasn't from here. Cut to all these years later when I finally recently befriended him and got to know a little bit about his extraordinary life. And so this is the story of Sky, your friendly neighbourhood window washer.
The first time I saw you was years ago on K Road, and you had these little hot shorts on, the fluorescent hot shorts and a sparkling hat.
Because I've gotten old, I've gotten away from that.
You don't think your legs look good anymore, is that what you're saying?
Who knows? Who knows what will happen this summer?
You're working on your summer bod.
I could bring it back.
Kia ora and welcome to Voices, your weekly podcast on people from all walks of life and from all sorts of places outside of New Zealand. I'm Kadambri Raghukumar.
When I first came here to New Zealand, this is in 1991. At the time, I was married. I had two kids. And I went to New Zealand Employment Agency. And they got me a job working at Kmart. This was in 1991. They were only going to let me work on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. And as you know, if you got a wife and two kids, if you're only working 2 days, of course, that's not enough money to feed them and pay all the bills. So I said, well, we're going to have to try something else. So I seen this guy. He was on the corner of Mount Albert and Dominion Road. It was a white guy, fairly young, early 20s. And I asked him what he was doing. He was cleaning the car windows at the intersection. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm trying to make some money so I can go back to Romania. Because he was from Romania. So I said, okay. So I'll try that. The first place that I ever did the cars was Mount Albert and New North Road. Now, why did I pick Mount Albert and New North Road? This was in 1991. The light was so long at that in particular intersection, people would actually get out of their cars and look at the light because they thought it was broken. Huh. This is how long it was. So that's where I started doing the car windows. Started moving around, and I went down to Spaghetti Junction, which is a corner of Nelson and Union downtown. And I started doing the cars there, and I met this other white guy. He was doing it on the North Shore, and he came down to the same intersection that I was. So it was two of us there. This was in 1991. And we stayed there for a while, less than a year. We got to go on the Paul Holmes show. Now, why did we get to go on the Paul Holmes show? Because Paul Holmes noticed that the police were hassling us. One time, there was like five or six policemen, you know, trying to get us to move. And Paul Holmes wanted to know, why are people's houses getting burgled? And they don't go and investigate that. But they send five or six policemen to move on two window cleaners at the intersection. So that's how we got to meet Paul Holmes. Yeah, that was really cool. But the reason I bring up the car windows is because if I would have never did the car windows, I wouldn't be successful at doing shops. Because I did the car windows all over Auckland, I had the advantage over other guys who were doing shop windows, commercial windows, and guys who were doing people's houses, because everybody already knew who I was. I stopped doing the cars at the end of 91, beginning in 92, because the police in Auckland City Council started getting really, really hard on it. So my wife goes, well, why don't you try ex-wife? I better say ex-wife, or else my present partner might get pissed at me.
No, you don't want that happening, so, do you?
So my ex-wife goes, oh, why don't you try shops? And I was thinking in my mind, oh, there can't be no money in shops. Because in the cars, I was making I was making fairly good money. Sometimes I could make $400 or $500 in a day. This was in the 90s, yeah. So I stopped doing the cars and I started doing shops. Now the first place that I ever did the shops was on Ponsonby Road and K Road in the CBD. And the funny thing is, when I started on Ponsonby Road, everybody's like, "Hey, Sky, why aren't you doing the cars anymore?" And I'm like, "Well, I decided I'm going to start doing shops now." So it took off. The first day, I got like 6 or 7 shops on the first day on Ponsonby Road. I got 3 or 4 shops, you know, on K Road. The Herald newspaper did a big article on me. The title of the article was Squeegee Bandit Comes In From the Cold. And they wanted to know why was Sky now doing shops and no longer doing cars. It was a full-page article.
You got a lot of attention in the early days.
Yeah.
It wasn't clearly just because you were doing car windows. I mean, you dress different. Let's just say that.
Yeah. When I first started out, you know, I wanted to stand out from the other guys that were doing it. You know, because you're actually trying to sell yourself to the public. So you don't want to be like everybody else. You don't want to look like the normal shop window cleaner. So what I would do is in the summertime, I would wear shorts. And they weren't really actually shorts. They were actually men's underwear, you know, that
I would wear. And they were fluorescent. I remember them being fluorescent.
Yeah. And I would wear the shorts and the tank tops and a cowboy hat. And people would look at me like, "Hey," you know. So it helped me get a lot of business. My my ex-wife, she didn't mind. And it worked out for me. If you're starting a business, you want to advertise, right? Well, I had the best advertising ever because I worked all over Rockland doing the car windows. So I had so many shops underneath my belt that it got to the point where I didn't have to do any cold calling.
Why did you choose to call yourself Sky? And when did that happen?
I did 6 years in the United States Marine Corps, okay, from 1981 to 87. I was stationed on an aircraft carrier, USS Coral Vincent. And at the time, I was stationed at Subic Bay Naval Base. This was in 1981. And at that time, it was the largest naval base on the planet. Well, Filipinos and people in that region of the world have a hard time pronouncing my real name. So what's my real name? Philip. Instead of saying Philip, they would always say Pillip. Now obviously if your name is Philip, you don't want people calling you Pillip. So I say Sky, just like the sky up in the sky. And that stuck. That's how I got the name Sky. And I've been using that name since 1981.
How did you end up in New Zealand?
When I got out the Marine Corps in 1987, I was stationed in Hawaii at Kaneohe Bay Marine Corps Air Station. Now, from a guy that's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, it gets cold as in the wintertime, it snows, everything stops. Now, let's see. Let's compare the places. Hawaii, tropical place, stays hot all year round. And Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where would be a better place to live? It's sort of like a no-brainer, isn't it? Yeah, so when I got out of the Marine Corps, I decided to stay on the island of Oahu. And I got a little apartment right outside Waikiki Beach, the famous Waikiki Beach. And when I got out of the Marine Corps, you're going to find it's hard to believe, I became a jeweler. I started selling jewelry. Met a lovely lady while she was on vacation. Came over here, and the rest is another story that we'll leave for another day. But that's what brought me here to New Zealand. I came here February of 1991.
Sky has since split with his Kiwi ex, who he met in Hawaii. Bucket after bucket of soapy water and a couple of bus trips from one strip of shops to the other, all in a day's work for Sky. He's in my neighborhood today, and it's the second time I'm seeing him in a week. I'm catching him in the middle of his lunch break in Ponsonby in Auckland. He's just finished his Eggs Benedict. 3 eggs is his standard order. Sky's showing me the list of 20 shops he's supposed to clean the windows off today. It's a long list, and it's meticulously handwritten. When we met the other day, and you mentioned, you know, the kind of life you had growing up in Pittsburgh,
yeah.
compared to life here in New Zealand? I mean, I know you've been here a long time, but
yeah.
Do you still often think about what it was like growing up there?
I'll tell you what. Okay, I'm 60 years old, and you're going to find this hard to believe. I'm 60 years old. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. All the guys that I grew up with are dead or in prison. Now, how did that happen? Now, what type of place was Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in the early 60s, 70s, 80s? Well, I'm 60 years old. All the guys I grew up with are dead or in prison. Now, how did I survive coming from a very, very hoodie part of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? And the place I came from in Pittsburgh is called the Hill District. How did I survive? Because where I come from, it's one of those places where there's a lot of drugs, there's a lot of shootings, you know, and it's mostly black-on-black violence. Okay, I've got two younger brothers. All three of us have different fathers. My dad left before I turned one. My brother, who's 5 years younger than me, his dad was murdered when he was five. My youngest brother, his dad left before he turned one. My mother's father was murdered when she was 12 years old. And it was just one of those neighborhoods that you were lucky to survive in. In New Zealand, you guys say state houses. State houses is like, that's where like people are like on the welfare, when we're on the DPB, you guys say domestic purposes benefit. Well, we don't say domestic purposes benefit in the States. We just say welfare. And people that's on welfare are normally your African Americans, your Puerto Ricans, your disenfranchised people, okay? We come from the projects. And that's where I was born and raised, in the projects. Now, at the time, it was me, my mother, my mother's two brothers, and my grandmother, okay? And as I said, I'm 60, but my dad, he left before I turned one. Now, from one to nine, we had an okay life in the projects because my stepfather, my brother's father, who's 5 years younger than me, I don't know if he did drugs, but I knew he sold drugs. I just remember him driving around in a really, really fancy car, and we had the best Christmases ever. I had all the toys and everything. But when I was 9 years old, my brother's father, he was five, my brother's father was murdered. He was cut up and they threw him in the trunk of his car. And the only thing I can remember from that age of nine is my mother and my grandmother screaming at the top of their lungs because my stepfather had been murdered. Now, when this happened, I was 9 years old, and my mother, she decided she wanted to make a change, and she wanted to get away from the Hill District. So when I was nine, we moved. We moved to the east side of Pittsburgh, which was a really good move. You had African Americans, there were white people, and some Hispanic people. In the Hill District, it was just all African Americans. Now, don't get me wrong, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as the Hill District. Now, when I got out of high school in 1980, I said to myself, well, I want to help out my mom. So I was in downtown Pittsburgh, and I seen a picture of this Marine, and he had on his military uniform called Dress Blues, and he looked really good in the uniform. So I said to myself, okay, let's try the U.S. Marines. And I joined the U.S. Marines in 1981. My best friend, Joel Evans Yates, he joined the U.S. Navy. And that's how I got out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I can honestly say to this day, if I would not have joined the United States Marine Corps in 1981, 99.9% of the time, I would have chosen probably the wrong path of drugs, gangs, shootings, alcoholism. But like I said, I got out of it, and it's the best decision that I ever made in my life.
You've been washing windows in and around Auckland for over two decades.
Yes.
You've seen the city change. You've
yes.
seen things come and go, and you've seen a lot of life.
Because I did 6 years in the United States Marine Corps, I've traveled all over the world on an aircraft carrier. I've been in some real hellhole places. I've been into some really, really, really bad places. You know, places where people wake up and they don't even know if they're going to survive the day. As an American, I can honestly say that New Zealand is the world's best country to live in. Now, why do I say that? It's simple. You guys don't have people getting shot up all the time. You don't have the muggings. You don't have the serious beatings. You know, it just doesn't compare to the bad neighborhoods that they have in America. It just does not compare. A lot of people, they're in like bad situations, you know? And my philosophy is that if something really, really negative in your life happens, which you had no control over whatsoever, you have to think of it as one door closing and another door is open. You just simply go through that door and you simply, you don't look back, you know, because when I look at it, I say to myself, okay, I've seen a lot of bad things growing up. I've seen people shot, I've seen people killed. I seen my brother's father, he was killed. These are traumatic experiences. You can either let traumatic experiences totally ruin your life and use it as an excuse to have other traumatic experiences in your life, or you can look at it as, okay, I survived that. Let's move on to something else. And that's what you got to do. Just because something really, really, really negative in your life happens, you want to get out of it, use that as a springboard to simply go to something better. If something negative in your life is happening beyond your control, you just simply have to go through another door. Alrighty. Yeah, so what I'll do is, I'll do Ponsonby. After I get finished with Ponsonby, then I'll shoot downtown. I got the comedy club, then after the comedy club, I got St. Pierre Sushi on Customs. And then after that, we hop on the bus, go off to Mount Eden, and the last one is Sal's Pizza in Mount Eden A. So yeah.
That's a hell of a day.
Yeah.
And that's Sky, your friendly neighborhood window washer in Auckland. Thank you for listening to Voices this week. Voices is a weekly podcast produced by me, Kadambi Raghukumar, on people from all around the world living in New Zealand. You can catch more Voices episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at rnz_voices and on Facebook. You can also listen to Voices on the RNZ website. Today's episode was engineered by Yana Tenahu Owen. And I'm Kadambi Raghukumar. Thanks for listening.